this. I'm going to read the scriptures for you. And one of the things that I have done probably here before is to tell you the same thing. And that's basically this, that when I read the scriptures out loud, it's a great moment to listen. We are very much moved toward our eyes when we kind of go to the text of scripture. We use our eyes to read. Brian always amazes me that he just knows it. And so I'm a little, that's a little daunting. But as I read this morning, what I want to do is encourage you to listen, because when we begin to look at the scriptures, one of the things we have to realize is that before this was ever written down on paper, somebody was saying it out loud. And there was something in listening that was significant. So I want you to listen, and I want you to listen for just ways the Holy Spirit might take some phrase or some word from the text and just kind of impress your heart with that particular thing. It might just be an idea that just kind of flies by as you're listening about this story, this little piece of Jeremiah 29. So I'm going to read this for you, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'll just share a few thoughts, and we'll try to get done fairly quickly. Good luck. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 4, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Would you pray with me? Now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and move it into the places of our heart that so desperately need your attention. And may we find in your word today the word that is for us today. So help us to listen, not just to the words on the page, but to your Holy Spirit who speaks those words and seeks to communicate with us now. May our ears be open to your voice. And I pray this for myself as well. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I came to Modesto, it was about almost 14 years ago. And when I came here, I had been raised all my life in Southern California. Okay, so I lived in San Gabriel Valley, kind of Pasadena area, and then I lived for about 25 years in Anaheim. Disneyland was in my backyard, basically. Largest mountain in Anaheim is the Matterhorn. Okay. And being in Southern California all that time and coming to Modesto, I never imagined that Modesto would be kind of possibly a final stop for me. Okay? I just never crossed my mind. Now, 14 years later, it's beginning to cross my mind that this may be where I end up. And there's something a little bit uncomfortable about that for me. I've always considered myself a Southern Californian. In fact, I was just down there last week, and somebody asked me where I was from, and I said, oh, I'm from down here. And I went, no, I'm not. Why? Seriously, I'm from Modesto. And Escalon being close by, we'll just kind of, this area. And that is a little bit weird for me to think about that. I think that when I read this passage from Jeremiah, I realize that people get displaced all the time. They get moved around. People have jobs that go different places. People have lives that change and transform and move them around in that way. Sometimes things happen and we've got to get out, got to get someplace else. But I like to think that I'm always the one in control of that, that these are my choices. And when I came to Modesto, I thought that I was coming here because God had called me here. I was going to work in a church. I figured I was coming because the church desperately needed what I had to offer. Okay? I came because I thought I was going to leave some incredible legacy behind me. And after 9 years in this setting of ministry, I found that there really wasn't that big of a legacy I was leaving behind. That the impact I figured I was having for the kingdom of God really wasn't that significant. The influence I was having on the people in the area of Modesto and surrounding was pretty much nil. And the biggest thing that was happening was in me. That's a fascinating thing. Because most of us like to think that we're going somewhere and we're going to have influence. But when I came to this place thinking of all those things that I thought were going to be influential, the thing that was most happening was in me. Because it was in this place that God began to surface all sorts of my own insecurities, my fears, my own sense of ego, arrogance. I mean, just the thought that I was going to have an influence was pretty arrogant in that. When I look at the children of Israel going into exile, I realize that I have a lot in common with them. I have a lot in common because I so easily get distracted from what God would have me be and do with Him to what I want to do and how I want to live my life. And so this morning, this message, this thing keeps popping off my ear. I'm sorry if I keep playing with this, but somehow my ear was not made for air traffic control. But we're working on it. I'm thinking of having plastic surgery on my ear so it fits better. But you have to go to Southern California to do that. Whatever the case, when I read this passage, I realize that Jeremiah was talking to a people that didn't want to be where they were at that point in time. They didn't want to be in that place of exile. In fact, there were a lot of people that were saying, this isn't going to last very long. This is going to be short-lived. It's going to be a blip on the radar. And Jeremiah tells them something that completely goes against that. He says it's going to be 70 years. Now, if you think about what a lifetime is, it's pretty close to a whole lifetime. Generations tended to be counted in 40-year increments. So this was more than a generation. The group of people that were hearing this were hearing something that was saying, basically, you're never leaving there. You're going to stay there. And that isn't always the comfortable message we want to hear. What I find in this passage is that God is trying to show me something about my own life in the places where I, in a sense, spiritually feel like I'm in exile, like I don't quite hear God the way I'd like, or I'm not experiencing God the way I'd like to experience Him. And so exile for me not only has this sense of I'm in a new place geographically, but I'm in a different place spiritually, and it's foreign to me. Now, I don't know if you ever feel that way, but I do often, where I just feel like this isn't comfortable. This is an uncomfortable place for me internally. In fact, most of the time when I'm in those uncomfortable places, I want to figure out a way out as fast as I can. So I want to just suggest three things this morning that might kind of be ways that we can hear this passage and maybe respond to the places that maybe we feel a little bit like we're in an odd place, a different place, a foreign place, a place we don't want to be. Not just in terms of geography, but inside of us. The first thing is this. Jeremiah was talking to these people, and what they hear is this, that God is still speaking into this place. So the first thing is just listen for the voice of the Lord in the place of exile. Whatever that place of spiritual displacement is, listen for the voice of the Lord there. My tendency is, when I'm in that place, is to just shut out everything and figure out, how am I getting out of here? So rather than listening well, I tend to put a lot of energy into escape. Get out, get out, get out. So Jeremiah basically says, this is the word of the Lord to those who are in exile. If you've ever felt like you're in a place you don't like to be, a place that's uncomfortable, a place that's painful, a place that seems like God has maybe taken a vacation and you wondered whether you could have gone with him, this is the thing. Listen for the voice of the Lord in that place. Because here's the thing. God's word will find you in the place of exile. This letter was from Jeremiah, who was at that point in time in the area of Jerusalem, sending this letter to Babylon, telling them, guess what? God's word is still coming to you even there. And for those of you who think that God doesn't speak to you when it's uncomfortable, you know, C.S. Lewis had that great comment about that pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world. Oftentimes, the context of the discomfort in our lives is the place that God speaks the loudest. So when you are feeling in that place that this is different, foreign, uncomfortable, painful, listen well. Because whatever the message you missed in all the comfortable places of your life, God may be trying to help you understand now. But also to realize that sometimes the thing that God is speaking and that we need to listen for is not something that's familiar to us or the thing that we think God's going to say. You know, go back to the little finger trap, okay? The way you get out is not by pulling harder. The way you get out is opposite. It's counterintuitive. You push in and things loosen up. And so what the people in Babylon hear is, hey, you should settle down. What? Pray for the people in that country that they would do well, be successful. Pray for their welfare. In their welfare, you're going to have welfare. You're going to do well. Now, if you were an Israelite in a foreign land, that would probably be the last thing you'd think of hearing. You'd think, these are all the Gentiles. These are all the people I'm supposed to stay away from. I'm not supposed to, they're my enemy. Does it remind you of anything when you hear that? Pray for your enemy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says very simply, pray for your enemy. For those that persecute you, okay? Love those people. So here's Jeremiah. He's saying something that Jesus will repeat later on. He's saying, in the place that you are, pay attention and know that the message may not be the one you thought you were going to hear. So listen. And then he says, don't waste that space. Don't waste that space. So if you're thinking about, I want to get out of this as fast as I can, that basically has the perspective that wherever you are that's uncomfortable is really a waste of time. How many of you think that God wastes time with us? And who carried them into exile but God himself? So if God carried them there, do you think that was a waste? Now, obviously, Israel, the children of Israel had done some things that put them in that place, or that God said, I'm going to take you there. But at the same time, we have to understand they were right in the place that God wanted for them, so it was not wasted space. It was not wasted time. And so when you're sitting in that place and you're thinking, this is a wasted place and wasted time, think about the ways that God might be calling you to invest where you are. So don't necessarily apply all your energy to escape, to getting out, but as you listen for the word, what is God saying to these people? He's saying, devote your energy to the present. Don't fantasize about some future or about some past. Be in the present. Devote your energy to ordinary things of life in this place, and devote your energy to prayer in that place. So he says, listen for the word, but then he also says, discern the deception, because there are other voices out there. Jeremiah speaking, but there are other voices. And that's one of the things about the spiritual life, is there are all sorts of voices out there that are calling to you. There are all sorts of influences that want you to move in particular directions. The voice that you want to hear is the voice of the Lord. And the first thing you need to understand is that in 70 years, they're going to have to wait some. And discernment takes time. Discernment takes time. Some of us are really impulsive with our decisions. The word and decision and discernment kind of have links. Some are very impulsive in our decisions because we don't want to take the time. To discern well, you will probably have to devote some time and wait a bit. But you're listening for the voice of the Lord. In the spiritual life of the early church, there was a desert tradition that said there were three particular voices that you needed to be aware of. The voice one was the voice of God. That was the one you were trying to focus in on. The second voice was the voice of Satan, the deceiver. And it's an interesting thing that in this text, Jeremiah says, don't listen to the prophets who will deceive you. That word deceive there, same word is used in Genesis 3 when the serpent comes to Eve. And she says of him afterwards, the serpent deceived me. The second voice was the voice of Satan. You want to be aware that that voice is out there too. And that he will try to call you to things that are contrary to the things that God is saying. And the thing that God would want from you. The other voice, the third voice, is a little harder sometimes. It's the voice of ourselves, our own ego. And sometimes I think Satan lines up with that one, and he kind of uses that one too. My own ego plays into so many things, my desires, my plans. So when you think about this, be aware that you need to be discerning of the other voices in exile. And when you're in pain, typically the voices that will come to you from the deceivers will be the ones that say, escape, avoid, and deny. Those are the voices that are probably the ones that want to tickle your ears rather than pierce and rend your heart. They're the ones that want to tell you, hey, this isn't any big deal. We're going to get out of this quickly. And Jeremiah said, this isn't going to be a quick one. So, not only listen for the voice of God, but discern the deceivers and the deception that goes on. And the third thing is basically this. Submit to the plan of God. So when it says this verse is a verse I hear quoted all the time from people, It is such a hopeful verse. I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for calamity. Any of you ever quoted that verse or thought of that verse or read that verse or heard that verse? Okay. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise mine for you. You know, I hear people quote that all the time. I'm not sure they take seriously the fact that in the context, the plan God had for these people was to keep them in exile for 70 years. And that somehow that was going to be tied to their welfare. That somehow that was going to be the best place for them at that time. Now, that's hard to fathom. But sometimes I think we have to understand that if God has a plan, that means that that's probably the best plan out there because it's God's plan. And if I'm going to follow God's plan, submit to that plan, that means that somebody else's plan isn't going to happen. Who most likely is that to be? That would probably be my plan, the one I thought was the best. And here's the thing about God's plan. I tend to think that when it says that this is about my welfare and not my calamity, the word welfare there is the word that we talk about, shalom. It's the word peace. Okay? The word actually has this sense of bringing together and making something whole and complete. And in that place of being whole and complete, the thing that calamity means is to scatter and disintegrate. God's plan is that you would be complete, that you would be whole, that you would be the version of yourself that He desires, that He created you to be. Whatever that is. And the thing about this plan that God has, we tend to think of it, you know, God's got a good plan for me. You know, He's going to give me wealth and happiness. He's going to give me, my children are never going to be sick. I'm never going to be sick. I'm going to age really well. And you know what? It really doesn't say any of those things. You know what it does say? The text says that you're going to seek me and you're going to find me. You're going to search for me with all your heart. You know what it really talks about? It says the thing, the good that God is going to do for you, the welfare He has in mind, really is about your relationship to Him. You see, the best thing that God could ever do to you, give to you, want for you, is that you would be intimately connected with Him. And whatever else life holds, what we so often do is we get stuck in those places of our circumstances and we forget the goodness of God in giving us Himself and saying, you can be with me. And so when you search for me with all your heart, when you have an undivided heart, an undistracted heart, you'll find me. I will be there for you. And that's my deepest desire for your life. God, every day, you awaken to Him, and He is saying, I want to be with you. Now, is God good in the kinds of gifts He gives us? Sure. Do I wake up in the morning still breathing, and is that a gift? Yes, it is a gift. Do I wake up in the morning and, you know, kind of go downstairs and there's some food? Yeah. Is that a gift? Sure. Problem comes is that I begin to take those gifts and build all my security around the gifts and miss the giver in the midst of it. God wants to draw me not to the gifts, but to Himself. The gifts are just a means to do that. They're just the way He directs me. So that I'd see Him again and see how good He is and how good it is to be with Him. And that wherever He is, I'm well taken care of if I'm with Him. So, in the place of exile, listen for the voice of God. In the place of exile, discern where the deception is.
In the place of exile, submit to the one who is truly good, and his goodness is in this. He has given all of himself in love to you, that you might give all of yourself in love to him. Let me pray for you.